If you would find your way to 2 Samuel chapter 12 this morning, 2 Samuel chapter 12. As is often the case in a day like today, when I have been honored to be present for the homegoing of a saint, my mind and my heart turns towards heaven, turns towards eternity, and I feel a renewed fervor to introduce everyone I can to the one who will get you ready for it. As I said, the Lord changed my heart about my message this morning, and I hope that I'm accurately assessing what He wants, because I want to mind Him. I sure do. I want to speak to you on a subject that is not a popular subject. It is not a subject that people necessarily enjoy talking about unless they're a little bit off bubble. That's the subject of death. It's not a pleasant subject. And yet it's a reality for all of us. And we'd do well to accept that reality and prepare for it. The fact is, we've all been touched by it. And so I want to speak to you this morning on three truths about death. Three truths about death. Father, would you help me? It is my heart's desire to be a blessing to your people and to be used of you to help your children get closer to you, to help those that are lost come to Christ, and to make much of the Lord Jesus in the process. As best I know, I'm right with you. But I know me. I could so easily have a wrong thought, word, or deed pass through my being and not even realize I've offended you. I confess, Lord, I'm not altogether all I should be. Sometimes I have the wrong attitude. Sometimes I'm lazy. Sometimes I'm angry for the wrong reasons. Sometimes I just don't love you like I should. But I sure do want to be more like Jesus. And Lord, I'm asking you to use me in spite of myself. And I'm asking that your people would be helped. And that Christ would be glorified. For it's in His name we ask these things. Amen. David has committed a horrible, horrible sin. He has taken Bathsheba unto himself. He has committed sin with her. Upon finding out that she's with child, he has committed another sin still in murdering Uriah that he might attempt to cover it up. By the way, you can't cover anything up with God. Nathan the prophet comes to him, and you know the story, "Thou art the man." And David has already pronounced his own chastening. He said, this man, the parable that Nathan told, he said, this man will restore fourfold. And that's exactly what David did. And this child conceived of this ill-fated liaison is the first of those four reparations. It may not seem that it applies to us today and where we find ourselves, although maybe it does, more specifically than we know. But David comes face to face with death, as we all have, and we all will. Now, this sounds like this is going to be a heavy message, but if you'll hang with me during the first two, I think you'll like the third. First of all, I want you to know that death is universal. Death has a 1 out of 1 success rate when you don't count the Lord Jesus. You say, well, other people have died and come back. That's true. But they died again. Jesus is the first fruit. He's the first one to die, defeat death, and then be out of death's reach. By the way, because of that, we have that hope too. But barring the rapture, you understand that death is universal. If Jesus doesn't come back, there is a 100% chance that at some point you'll die. Happy thought, huh? But it's reality. And my mind, anytime I'm in a situation like we were in last night, one of the first things that pops into my mind is how many people, if this were them, if they had come to this point in their life in which the doctor said, there's nothing more we can do, we're going to make you comfortable, and then by and by you slip into eternity, would they have been ready? A lot of the folks in that house last night are ready. I don't know that everybody is. A lot of the folks that attend the funerals that we have here are ready, but certainly not everybody is. My question to you would be this: if death comes knocking today, are you ready? I can't answer that for you. Only you and God know that. Death is universal. Look at verse 15. Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. The elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with him. It came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Sometimes children die. Sometimes it's the elderly, and many times it's somewhere in between. You see, death is universal, even to those who are innocent. My wife and I have three innocents that succumbed to death. Many of you have been through that. Heaven is full of people, not yet accountable for their sin nature. By the way, I'm thankful that when that happens, God in His grace takes them home. That's a wonderful thought. But the fact is, death is universal. And here's why it's universal. It's universal because of our sin nature. Do you remember what Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 5? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Why do those we love die? Because of sin. Why do innocents die? Because of sin. We live in a sin-sick, sin-cursed world, and death is unavoidable. It is universal, even for the innocent. And I want you to know something, friend, and I've had these times in my life where I've been this way too. We have this idea that we got all kinds of time. We're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I got news for you, friend. That's not true of any of us. Hebrews 9 tells us it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Every one of us, whether through death or through the rapture, we will find ourselves in eternity. Now, if you go up in the rapture, thank the Lord, your eternity is in good shape. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you face an eternity in hell. Because death is universal. Number two, and I'm learning this more and more as I get older, death is brutal. I mean, we like to sugarcoat it and we like to talk about how, you know, it's the portal to eternity, and it is. And Christians should not fear it. I get that. But the reality of it is, I've never met one person who wasn't insane that enjoyed experiencing death in their lives. It is brutal. It's brutal. Look at this. Verse number 19. But when David saw that his servant whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He's dead." And David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Now, that sounds positive, but I want you to get what's happening here. David, after 7 days of fasting, after 7 days of no nourishment, after 7 days of no bathing, after 7 days of no interacting with anyone else, after 7 days of pleading with God to spare this child, the child dies, and now David has to get up and go back to life. Those of you that have, this also happens to be Miscarriage and Infant Loss Awareness Month, and those that have been through that, you know what it is. At some point, you got to go back to work. At some point, you got to go back to life, and to try and find a new normal is absolutely brutal. It is hard. It is difficult, and that is the nature of death. And I'm so sorry to point them out. This isn't fair to them, but we love Miss Marie, and we're going to miss Marie. Let me tell you something. This is not the hardest part for this family. And if you've been through this, you know this to be true. The hardest part is after the phone calls and after the cards and after the meals and after the services and after all of that, when you've got to find a new normal. A new normal that no longer includes that person that you love. Death is brutal. And here's David, and yes, he's got the grace of God on him, and yes, he's repented. We thank God for that. But the fact is, he has got to get dressed, and got to get cleaned up and dressed, and go back to life in a new normal, and that is absolutely brutal. So, Andy, how is this helpful? Death is universal, and death is brutal. But I've got good news for you. It's curable. If you're here today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, I want you to know something. Death is not a period, it's a comma. It's an interruption. Three times we wept, not understanding what God was doing. But all three times we knew that there's a cure for this. And as we say goodbye, and as we say, when we say our farewells to those that are in Christ, in our hearts, yes, we sorrow, but not as those that have no hope. Because death is curable. Look at what David said. Verse 23, well, 21. And said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him." David, in an Old Testament economy, understood this isn't the end. How did he know that? Because he knew that his Redeemer liveth. And the plan of salvation, the plan of redemption, is every bit as active in the Old Testament as it is the new. The people of the Old Testament got saved the same way that we did. We believe that Jesus came, that he took our sins upon himself, and that he died in our place, was buried, and on the third day rose again, and we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ alone. That's how we get saved. How'd they do it? They believed that God would yet send a Redeemer who would take our sins upon himself. That the Messiah would die in our place and that he would pay the price, and that salvation would be through him. Only difference is theirs was on credit. They looked forward, we look back. Can I tell you something? Nobody's ever been saved by keeping the law. Nobody's ever been saved by being a good person. Nobody's ever been saved by being religious. Everybody that's ever been saved has been saved by the good grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I tell you something? Death has a cure. I love the buts of Scripture. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There'll be much weeping in the days ahead, as there has been in the days past. I've been here almost 9 years. Done too many of these. Too many before that. Never gets old. I mean, never gets easy. And it does get old. That's what I meant. But here's what I know. As difficult as it is now, as brutal as death is, there's a cure. And his name is Jesus Christ. Do you remember when we were reading in Romans 5? Let's go back there. Go to Romans 5 with me. You need to see this. This will help you. Romans 5. We read in verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Listen to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. I love verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Oh, Brother Stewart, he's talking about me here. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Then as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, David. How in the world are you dealing with this brutal, brutal circumstance? I shall go to him. How did David shake off the horrors of Absalom? The hope of the future. As David got closer to his own death, what was his hope? He knew where he was headed. We've shed a lot of tears, haven't we? It is a rare thing that I come into this auditorium and look at that pen and don't think about Brother Sam. It's a rare thing. I miss him. Used to make me laugh. I tell you something. I'll see him again. I shall go to him. I think about Granny Warden a lot. I shall go to her. The other day I was almost overwhelmed. Missing Brother Poole. He brought a much needed balance to my foolishness in leadership meetings. I should go to Him. All of us, and the names I could keep listing. I wanted that wheelchair there today because I am not quite ready for that space to not be occupied. What will give me the impetus to move it? I shall go to her. But here's the best one. You ready? Some days, all I want is to just be with Jesus. Can I tell you something? On the day of His choosing, whether through the rapture or through death, according to His word, I shall go to Him. Here's my question. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care what kind of upbringing you have, or how good a person you fancy yourself to be. I don't care. My simple question is this. Can you say that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone to be your Savior? And in doing so, you could testify. I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but you could testify when the time comes, I shall go to Him. Can you say that? You say, well, Andy, I got to be honest with you. I don't know that I would. And I plead with you. Nail it down today. Know where you're headed. Christian, maybe you know. What's your responsibility now? To help as many people know that death is universal and they will go to eternity someday. Death is brutal, but death is curable. As many people as you can tell, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Tell somebody how they can be ready. Because let me tell you what that does. When the rapture takes place, those who come out of their graves, you know what they'll cry out? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You didn't keep me. And those of us that remain will follow right behind them. Oh, death, where is thy sting? We will sorrow, and we should. But aren't you glad we have hope? And though it's hard to feel it right now, can I tell you something? For the Christian, death, though it doesn't feel like it, is not the enemy. He's a dear friend that opens the door. Andy, what happens when I die, if you're saved? Here's what I believe happens according to the Word of God. The Bible does teach that angels play a role in your escort. I don't know exactly what that role is, and I don't know exactly the time frame. I do believe that your heart can still be beating and you can still have respiration, but you can already see over. I do believe that. I believe that, as the old song goes, you brush the dew from Jordan's banks, the crossing must be near. I believe that. But when the moment of death happens, here's what I believe happens. I believe you take your last breath here. And the next breath you take, you may not know what it is here, but there you'll recognize it, according to the psalmist. You'll recognize the smell of aloe, and acacia, and myrrh. Why are those smells significant? Because that's what the psalmist says are in the robe of Messiah. Why will you smell that before you smell the fruits of the 12 tree, of the trees of the change every month? Why would you smell that before you smell something else in heaven? I'll tell you why. Because to be absent from the body, according to Paul, is to be present with the Lord. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing the kids we got over there. I'm looking forward to seeing family that's over there and friends and loved ones. I'm looking forward to meeting Peter and Paul and Joshua and all of them. But let me tell you, the first face that I'll see, the first face that you'll see, the first face that about 11:10 last night Miss Marie saw, is that of Jesus. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time, isn't it? Just some thoughts about death.